like ingredients, and then really for you guys to go away and cook up yourself a dinner and to feed on it for the week. Not just so really hopefully tonight and as I speak, it'll just be ingredients for you to go and cook up your own meal, to spend time with God meditating on some of the passages. The passage that Orla read out was Ecclesiastes chapter 3, if you want to just mark that down. So I'm reading from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. I'll start from verse 1. It says, this is Paul speaking to Timothy. It says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. There's plenty of passages in the Bible about seasons, but I was given this one, which is a little bit tricky, but at least the word seasons is mentioned, so I can do my best to apply to tonight. It's a quite specific thing that Paul is saying to Timothy. If you read first and especially 2 Timothy, and Paul is all about saying, come on, Timothy, you've got this in you. You've got this in you. Get going. Do it. Endure hardship. Keep going. And chapter 1, you've got the gift. Fan into flame. Keep it moving. Chapter 2, it says, endure hardships. It says, with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. It says, like the hardworking farmer, like the athlete. So keep going, keep moving. There's going to be tough times ahead. And really when it comes to chapter 4, he's reminding me again to do the things you should do. Be an evangelist, preach the word in season or out of season. And it goes on. So it's about, so obviously Paul recognizes that there are seasons in our life. So really what I'm going to do is just talk about three main areas. First of all, seasons and a life of change, what that is like as a Christian, what it's like in general, what do seasons picture. Second one is talk about some things that don't change, whatever season we're in. And finally, we'll just be summing up a challenge that Paul speaks with Timothy a few verses down. So first of all, I was thinking about like what is a season. A season can be the natural season, summer, winter, and the other two, spring and autumn. And a good job to know those. But I think it can be more than that as well. Like I was thinking of some sort of definition. It's like a significant period of time. So it's not just a day, really. It's more than that, because that would be, say, a day or an hour. But a season's longer than that, with a certain common characteristic. So you can go, I'm going through this season. I'm going through a season of loss. I'm going through a season of grief. There's been a few things happening. I'm going through a season of joy. It's kind of a significant time to bear that in mind. There's different types of seasons. I think as well, like what can happen is in the academic area, like education, all that, we have our seasons. We almost like September is kind of like January. It's like the start of the academic year. And I think sort of a lot of people's lives continue on that after 18 or more years of education. So even the church feels like September is the start of the year. And there can be, the summertime can break that up. And there can be sports season as well. The season of soccer has just started. And the season of football is just finished, especially for Dublin today. Unfortunately, that was a very sad season end. But anyway, we'll move on from there. But also, seasons can, in our Christian walk, as was said at the start, there's seasons of our soul. And this is what Paul's getting at here with Timothy. You can be in and out of season. You can be in a certain season that's good for preaching the word. You're feeding it. You're loving it. Go for it. But he also says to encourage them to do it out of season. But I think what I was thinking about, why did Paul use the word seasons? And I think there's a few helpful ways, helpful for a Christian walk, because he mentions seasons. As there's four or five. They're all beginning with P, so hopefully that will remember them. The first one is, it helps give us purpose. When we think of seasons, we can think of growth and fruit and sort of organic growth, because seasons really is about the trees, the grass, fruit appearing. And we can think about, for us, whatever season we're actually in, there's a purpose behind it all. God, it says, creates, has seasons in his hand. And so there's a purpose in all that we do, whether we're in a difficult situation or a really good season. There's a purpose at hand that God has. He's the author and finisher of our faith. So whatever season we're in, we can confidence and purpose that he's going to use to the glory of him the season we're in to continue to produce more and more fruit like Jesus. The second thing, it helps us give us perspective that a season doesn't last forever. And even like, in Narnia, when the winter was ever winter for 100 years and never Christmas, and then Aslan comes along and things begin to thaw out. But I suppose sometimes our seasons can feel like winter, can feel like 100 years, but to know that it won't last, and and that they don't last. In certain situations, they will move on to different things, whether in the physical, natural realm or also in the spiritual realm. So that's purpose and perspective. It also gives us patience to stay in that season. I think we all love to be in the happy, clappy, the joyful seasons of our spiritual summer, let's say, or spiritual autumn, where the fruit is there, obvious things, God's doing great things in our lives. So we all want to just rush to that, and sometimes we want to fake it, so we pretend we're there, we cheat ourselves. But if the earth only had this summer, where would be the winter? Where actually Jesus used that picture, if a seed doesn't go into the ground and die, it won't produce fruit. We need winter times. We need times of God pruning us back, and we need to let him. It says don't quench the Spirit, don't resist the Spirit. We need to let him do these things, and we need to be patient in letting him do these things. So we've got purpose, perspective, patience. Fourth one is also perseverance. In Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about, since you're surrounded by all this great cloud of witnesses, these great men and women of God, let us fix your eyes in Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and let us run the race with perseverance. So we can also know that if I'm in a really difficult situation at the moment, I can keep going because there's a goal in sight, and I can keep fixing my eyes on Jesus because he endured hardship. He endured for the glory set before him. He knew that the cross wouldn't last forever. He knew that the torture, the whipping wouldn't last forever. There was going to be a better life ahead of him. He would have loved to just skip it. And I think the devil tempted with that. He says, if you bow down to me, I'll give you all the kingdoms. I'll give you what you really came for. And it would have been a really quick way of doing it, but God isn't into that. He's into doing it the right way, doing a deep work in us, and we must persevere, be patient, have perspective, and have a purpose with seasons. So probably we've got a wide variety of different seasons people put themselves in spiritually. A lot of times I find as well, just in my own life, it can be like a start of something new, a new job, a new year in college, new relationships, things like that. And that can sometimes, I find, I don't know if about you, that can sometimes mirror my spiritual life as well. And I don't want to separate things. I want to keep it holistic as well, that starting a new job can really be God speaking to you about starting new things as well. And that's just as important as the season of the soul. But there's some things that never change no matter what season we're in. And I'm just going to say two things. First of all, that God never changes, which is a really good thing. It says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, that I'm the Lord that never changes. Our experiences of him and his dealings with us can change. So we can sometimes feel like God changes, but he never changes. His purposes, his faithfulness continue on. And that is a key to remember when we're in the very difficult seasons, to know that God never changes. His love, he's full of love, slow to anger, great patience. All these things, and it's the key that will keep you going through the seasons of life, through the ups and downs, knowing that God never changes. And yet at the same time, it's not boring because he shows us new things about him in each of those seasons, and wants to show us, reveal more of his character. The second thing, the other thing that things don't change is, there's kind of three C's for this. For us, it's his call on our lives, his commands on our lives, and his commission for our lives, and those never change no matter what the season is. And that really leads, which I'll go in a minute, to the third point of the challenge. So first of all, the call. I think we all love to know what's our calling in life, what's this. But really, the Bible is full of our calling, and just in the letter of Timothy chapter 2, Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, it just says, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us. Can anyone read those next two words? Called us to a. No one's got there. A holy life. Not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. I think, like, if people are like, if you want to come up to the front and we'll have a response time and you'll find your calling, if you told each of them individually that, they probably would be a bit disappointed. They probably want something more exciting. But that is the call, and it's just, you can expand it at that, and it can be a specific call. For Timothy, it was preaching the word, which we'll see there. But our call is to lead a holy life, not because of what we've done, but through the grace of God. And no matter what season we're in, we can't have that as an excuse. I'm going through a hard time, I'm just going to just enjoy myself. I'm gonna find my peace and my security and other things because God's being mean to me, and I'm gonna find this. It's serious. The call is gonna be still there whenever, whatever situation we're in. There's also the command, which God specifically says is to love the God, your God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your emotions, with all your mental abilities, with all your attitudes, with all your heart, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. That never changes no matter what season we're in. In fact, it probably is more powerful, that commandment, when we do it in our difficult situations. The final thing is the commission, or the task. Is to make apprentices, make disciples of Jesus, and then baptizing them, and then finally teaching them and training them into what Jesus said and done. And that continues as well, no matter what season we're in as well. So really, while whatever season we're in, our lives are going to be changing all the time, but two things will remain, is that God's character remains. We might experience them different, but God's character remains, and our the things that we're called to do, and the commandments were done as remains. So as we go back to the verse, the start, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word, be prepared in season, out of season, correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. And then it goes, go down to verse 5, chapter 4. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. So keep your head in all situations and endure hardship. So that's sort of Paul saying, you know, when you're not in the season to do the things that God has called you to do, but he says, just keep going, endure the hardship. And that word, it says, preach the word, be prepared, verse 2. The Greek word for that is ephistemi, which stands for, the word prepared is probably isn't the best. It more means to be present, because the word is used a lot more when angels appear to people. The angels are present. The angels are ephistemi. They're there. And the same word is used here, which makes a bit sense. It's sort of no matter what season you're in, Paul is recommending here, and God is recommending to all of us, that we need to be present for God to work. We need to be present for our friends, our families, and even in our most hurtful times, not to fake it. Because whatever season, it can be very powerful. A season of joy can be very powerful for people, can encourage the people who are in a season of sorrow. When we're in a season of sorrow, it can be encouraging to people, because they could be in a season of sorrow. We could be real to our friends who don't know Jesus. It was amazing. Jesus had, I suppose, different seasons, but he had all the range of things. Jesus wept. He was joyful. He was surprised. He had all these things so people could see he was real. And it's crucial that we need to be present to preach the word. For Timothy specifically, that can be for us. We need to be present, though, for the calling, the commission, and the commands that God has. And that is the, I'm going to finish with that. That's the challenge, really. And so I'm just going to finish, and if Ravi wants to come up now, and the guys. Just in Habakkuk chapter 3, it's a small book, but it's really between conversation between God and the prophet Habakkuk. It's like, God, you're amazing, you're wonderful, you're powerful, but why is there nothing happening in this land? Why is there nothing happening in this land? And he's asking. And sometimes we can feel like that. And really, his conclusion is there wasn't much happening even by the end of the conclusion. In chapter 3, this is what Habakkuk says. He says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes in the vines, and though the olive crop fails, and though the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go to the heights. That was his conclusion. He didn't get a full conclusion of why there wasn't revival happening in his place. But what he found was his conclusion is like, even though I'm in a season where there's not much happening, there's not much produce, even in prosperity in Israel at that time, and even spiritually, there wasn't much going on either in his life or in the people around him, he was saying, yes, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. And I tell you guys, if you're in a really hard season, it can be the most difficult thing to do, but it can be the most powerful thing to do, and it can speak to much and many people. So I encourage you guys now, whatever season you're in, to rejoice in the Lord and be joyful in the God of your Savior. Okay, thank you.